Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present to you, for your listening pleasure, We Heart Music Radio. Brought to you by the good people at WeHeartMusic.com.
Hi, this is Bo with We Heart Music Radio, and...
Hey, it's Amy. What's up?
So, Amy, I'm having you on here to talk a little bit about shoegaze and music and its history and stuff like that. So, you want to do the intro on this or?
Sure. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I chose this topic as something that would, not only as an introduction to me. I mean, I do have a varied musical taste. It's not just all shoegaze, but I would say it's one of my favorite genres. And one that's kind of stuck with me since like junior high school. So I thought it would be a good jumping off point for introducing myself. And basically, I mean, nobody who's into shoegaze really likes the term shoegaze. If I can just get that out of the way, because it's just silly. It was just termed because they looked at their shoes a lot or their pedals while they were stepping on them, I guess. I don't know. Or maybe the boys in the bands were shy. But it basically, it kind of emerged from the UK in the mid to late 80s and kind of came to fruition, from probably about 80 through 92, maybe 93. And then it kind of died down after that and everybody kind of broke up.
Right.
And it's heavily influenced by like elements of like no wave and noise rock and post punk and things like that. And krautrock a bit, but it's a lot of, layered sounds, textures, guitar effects, and vocals are usually pretty low in the mix. And it was kind of pioneered by, My Bloody Valentine, and I wouldn't say Jesus and Mary Jane are completely,
They're grouped in there, though.
They are. I mean, it's kind of a indie rock and noise pop or whatever, but yeah, there's a lot of crossover.
Right.
But yeah, that's kind of the intro to it. Some of like their earlier bands are gonna be like Bowdive, Trap Ride, that kind of thing.
Catherine Would you put Cocktail Twins in there with that?
Yeah, Cocktail Twins are they kind of straddle a lot of things. I mean, their songs have been included in like goth compilations and things like that with like Christian death and like I don't know. It's really hard to kind of just say that they're one genre, because Robin Guthrie was in Cocteau Twins and he kind of does more ambient electronic stuff now. So, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think they had a major influence on it, and there's some elements of in their music that could definitely be considered shoegaze, I guess.
You know what's funny is I don't think that term came about until the 90s, because I think everybody knew that type of music, but I don't think they had a name for it in the early 80s, or the late 80s. I think it's the same with Britpop, because we didn't call it Britpop when it was starting. It wasn't until, I think, 94 or 92 they started coining the term. And yeah, and so basically I think the Melody Maker or the Enemy gave the name. And I think it's, yeah, it's not a great term because I think it's more insulting than it is,
Yeah, but I think it's kind of like you always have to put a name on everything. Like, there's so many weird names for music nowadays, so it doesn't necessarily surprise me that they were just saying, like, oh, he's staring at a shoe, so it's shoegaze music or whatever. There's glitch gaze. There's just weird names for everything. So.
So I'm going to name you some bands, and then you tell me what your thoughts on them, if that's all right.
You mean like if they're shoegaze or not,
Or
or?
what, yeah, your thoughts, basically.
Okay.
So Slow Dive, who broke up and then later became Mojave 3. What do you think of Slow Dive and Mojave 3?
I like Slow Dive a lot, especially, you know, I mean, it's, you know, Rachel Goswell has got an amazing voice, and I think they're one of the seminal shoegaze bands. And I was lucky enough to meet the drummer Simon Scott, because he played in a band called Televize that Club AC30 actually put out some singles and their record. He's a cool dude. So I think they're pretty amazing. And you know, Mojave 3, I have a couple of their albums, but I feel like they're more. Initially, they were a little kind of like slowcore shoegaze, and then it kind of got more almost Americana-ish, which I don't necessarily dislike, but it just wasn't the same.
Okay, so Chapter House, they broke up 90 something, and then they reformed like in the 2000-ish. So did they only did like their old stuff from when they reformed, or did they try to introduce some new written songs?
Nope, it was pretty much just all old stuff. They, you know, that it was all original members except for the bassist. They had a guy named Greg Moore who toured with them, who they knew, I think, through work or something like that. And so he kind of toured with them, but it was basically just, I guess what they said was when they were making the music originally, they were trying to use a lot of effects pedals and keyboards and things like that. And then when they, you know, later on, like, now-ish or a couple of years ago when they were getting back together, they wanted to take the keyboard element out of it and do it all with, you know, more organic, just regular instruments and stuff like that. I mean, definitely they were using effects pedals, but they kind of wanted to get back to basics, so to speak, I guess. And they pretty much just played the hits for the most part.
So when you went to tour with them, was the crowd was it like packed every night? Do people come out like in their 30s or 40s, remembering this?
Yeah, because I mean, you know, I never went to any of their U.S. shows, unfortunately, because they got, you know, I was originally intending to, because their U.S. shows were the last ones, but because of the volcano in Iceland, things got
That's right.
That
That's right.
thrown off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when they were here, I was like on vacation in Hawaii, so I couldn't go, but. I saw them play twice in London. I saw them play once at a small club called the Luminaire, which has since shut down. And that was great. That was packed. That was like their warm-up show. And then I saw them at Reverence, for which Club AC30 put on. And so they played there, and it was packed at both shows. And then I saw them play a few shows in Japan. In Japan, I mean, it's
Oh, that's a different story.
Yeah, well, and they're such fanatics of whatever they're into, you know. It doesn't matter what kind of music or what kind of whatever, but there's always, they just come out of the woodwork. There's always just a ton of people who absolutely worship whatever band is coming there, like they've heard of it. And so yeah, we like I'm in the band, but when we were there, they put on shows at anywhere from like places that held like 1,500 people, which is like the largest place, and then anywhere from like three or 400, or 300 to 500, and they were all sold out. There were packed rooms, and there were people that, you know, were aware of them since the beginning. Like there was this older Japanese gentleman who showed up at a couple of the shows with this, because I don't know if you've seen the cover of Whirlpool. It has a white cat
yeah.
kind of curled up.
It's sweet, yeah.
And he brought a stuffed white cat.
Oh, my God.
with him. Because, like, when you go to Japanese shows, you stick around afterwards and you, like, sign autographs and all that kind of stuff. And so everyone was being, you know, everyone in the bands there were being gracious. So the opening band stuck around and Chapter House stuck around. And this guy showed up and he had to take a picture of the cat with, like, each of the band members. And he had to have been in his... You know, I could be a bad judge of age, but he looked 50-ish or possibly older. I mean, the man was not young. He was a middle-aged man, for sure, comfortably middle-aged, and he was walking around with this white stuffed cat that he wanted to take pictures of, and at first it was funny, and then it got a little creepy, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, that's...
It's the same cat, then, from the cover?
No, I think he just thought it was similar... Just thought it would be cool to take pictures if I sat with the band.
Yeah, so after this, obviously, they are not going to reform after this, right?
No.
They broke up.
Not that I'm aware of, not unless I beg them. No, they probably wouldn't. I think that was kind of just like the one last hurrah because there were other bands similar, you know, reforming.
Right.
Like My Bloody Valentine, so it was kind of a call for it.
Nice segue. Let's go to My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
It's just pretty much that guy, right? I mean, it's not...
Captain Shields?
Yeah, it's not like...
No, I mean, when they played the shows a couple of years ago that I went to go see, I mean, it's the full original band.
Okay.
I mean, he remastered, you know, and they haven't been released yet. I think they come out, like, May 7th in the UK and obviously later in the US because the UK generally gets things first for those kind of bands, but... he remastered Loveless and Isn't Anything, and then they compiled, like, this EPs that are, like, not only from their EPs that they released, but also some B-sides and previously unreleased tracks from 1988 to 91. And so he's, you know, involved in that. I mean, it was mostly him doing that himself, but there are rumors that he's still working on the next My Bloody Valentine album, but then there's been years for that for like over a decade. So whether that'll come to fruition is anybody's guess, but
yeah, like
who knows? I mean, we never thought these were going to get released, and now they finally are since they've been promised for like years. So,
well, I mean, like a lot of people, I have Loveless, and they
mm-hmm.
to me, they it's not so much shoegazing, but it's more like kind of like a noise, kind of
mm-hmm.
more. Experimental, but I mean, not really. I mean, there's definitely elements of shoegazing in it, but
yeah.
I wouldn't really group them if the shoe doesn't fit. I don't know.
If the shoegaze doesn't fit. No, I mean, but they kind of are like the granddaddies of shoegaze.
Right. A lot of bands are influenced by them, yeah.
I would say they're a little louder and noisier than what you would maybe.
Typical, yeah.
They
yeah.
typically call shoegaze, but I mean, they definitely spawn a lot of shoegaze bands.
So what do you think of Moose? Because I have never heard of this band, and I know that for some reason they're like one of the earlier shoegazing.
They are, and I never really listened to them.
Me either, so.
That might be an age thing, though, because like a lot of people that I know that are anywhere from like 5 to 10 years older than me are really familiar with them, but they were never one that, I mean, I knew the name and I've heard a couple songs, but, you know, they were never a band that I really got that into. So I can't really comment on it because I think they kind of flew above my radar or under it, as it were. So.
Here's another band that was kind of early shoegazing, but then didn't become, I mean, kind of left the shoegazing thing. It's a band called Lush, which is, so Emma Thompson, I think, is her, the bassist.
Was it, or is that the actress's name?
I'm sorry, Emma Anderson. Emma and Mickey is the Japanese
yes.
girl, they kind of have a conflict in the band where Emma was really into that shoegazy thing. And then Mickey, she wanted to be like pop, like, you know, Brit pop. So if you listen to the music, there's kind of like this almost, at war sound where, you know, one band wants to sound like this and the other part of the band wants to sound like this. But if you listen to the early stuff, it's definitely like very shoegazy. Like it's very lushy, kind of like the.
Hence the name.
Yeah. yeah, it's very ethereal. I guess it's a really good term to describe them. I really like them, but like I said, I do prefer their poppier stuff.
Later yeah. stuff. Yeah. No, I mean they kind of straddled it. I mean, and that's like a lot of any band that you could call shoegaze kind of transformed into something else, I guess. But, I mean, there's so many different genres that kind of overlap. I mean, you've got, I think you had mentioned at some point when we talked about dream pop, and there's shoegaze, and then there's noise rock, and then there's krautrock, and then there's electronic and ambient, and even just regular indie rock kind of stuff. I mean, there's all elements of that, you know, in shoegaze. So it doesn't have to be necessarily straight up 100%. It's always shoegaze, you know, because even bands that I, like, Catherine Wheel. I mean, they weren't, in the beginning, I would say their first two albums for sure are straight up probably mostly shoegaze albums, and then it kind of goes into like hard rock even, like in their, you know, mid-90s phase, and then later into kind of more of something that's more similar to like Pink Floyd or Talk Talk or something like that.
Catherine Wheel was one of the first band I've ever seen live, and
oh, really?
Yeah, it's like 1992 or so. Maybe 1991. They did Black Metallic as their encore, and that song went on for hours. It's like it felt like wow.
It's like an extended. Yeah. I think live it was like 10 or 12 minutes, and I think on record it's like 7 or 8 or something like that.
It's so super long. I just remember like, is this ever gonna end? Because
why would you think that? You want to say this? Hopefully, this will never end. What you're supposed to think.
Yeah. And I always find it weird that Rob Dickinson, he's the brother of Bruce Dickinson, who's in another...
From Iron Maiden.
Yeah, Iron Maiden. And the two band don't sound anything like alike, so it's kind of...
It's hilarious, though, because Bruce Dickinson was one of Catherine Wheel's biggest fans. Like,
are you kidding?
He loved their music. No. No, I've read interviews where like Rob's like he would be jumping up and down in the UK in the audience, and we'd have to like tell him to put a hat on or something so people wouldn't see the lead singer of Iron Maiden just like freaking out at one of our shows.
Anyway, did you get into Rob's solo stuff at all?
A little bit. I mean, it's good, but it's, you know, I mean, I might be stuck in the past, and that's fine. You know, because the cap and reel is a singular thing for me.
So let's take a look at some modern shoegazing bands. And before we do that, I have to say that the term shoegazing has always been with me. But then a few years ago, people started using the word shoegaze, and I didn't know that that was even a term that you can use.
Like what? Well, because I think shoegazing is like the verb form of
Stop
shoegaze,
doing
right?
it.
Shoegaze is the noun, and shoegazing is what you do when you're listening to shoegaze, maybe. I don't know. Now that we keep saying the word, it doesn't sound like a word anymore.
Like I said, I was blown away because I didn't even realize you can actually use it in different adjective and conjunctions.
Like you just got shoegazed.
So some modern,
So it's a modern band?
yeah, some modern shoegaze band. Anything you're into or
Yeah, I like Fleeting Joys. They're a band that I think are based out of Sacramento or that area, who actually opened a couple shows for Chapter House when we were in Japan. And I had heard of them previously before seeing them in Japan, but they're awesome. They're in between albums right now. I think they're working on a third. It should be coming out shortly. I don't know, a lot of it is more electronic shoegaze now, like, or elements of it, like Still Corners or Mint Julep, or, I don't know, have you heard of, like, Ulrich Schnauss and stuff like that? I mean,
No, I don't really keep up with the new stuff because it seems like a lot. There's a lot of them, and I know for some reason I know the Pains of Being Pure at Heart is grouped in there.
yeah, but they're kind of dream poppy too. Because I mean, they do have some kind of like they're a little fuzzed out, and there's effects, but they definitely are more dream poppy just because the songs are poppier. But there are elements of shoegaze in there. There's a band called Belong, which is kind of more electronic again, or almost ambient, I guess. And Dive, who apparently I should be seeing shortly on, I think they'll be at the Entry on April 29th, opening up for Frankie Rose. And they're kind of a krautrock, shoegaze, dream pop outfit, with bands from a band called, or with members of a band from a band called Beach Hoppers. They're kind of shoegaze, dream pop band. Twilight Sad, who we both saw month and a half ago, 2 months ago.
They seem more noisy than they are, like, shoegazing.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I mean, they kind of straddle a few different genres, you know? And but their earlier stuff was a little more shoegaze-tinged, and I feel like they're going more synthy.
Can I add that singer from Twilight Sad? He has such a great accent. Sorry.
I know. It just makes me think, like, I seriously, what I think I posted on Facebook was everyone needs to sing in a Scottish accent.
Yeah, because...
his voice is amazing, and then just, like, that Scottish, like, lilt to it. It's just, the Scottish brogue is just amazing.
But yeah, the problem is that a lot of the songs, their music is so loud that it overpowers his vocals, and I think his vocals mm-hmm. could really use a spotlight on, because he has such a great,
He has an amazing voice. Yeah, I mean, his voice is flawless. He can really belt it out when he wants to, like, the quieter numbers. When they can kind of showcase his voice.
Yeah.
His name is James Graham, I believe. And he's got a fantastic voice.
Yeah, he can, like, read the Bible, and it's amazing because...
he should sing the Bible.
And then God said, you know, like... Oh.
Death Star again, Club AC-30. they're pretty great, you know. It's very shoegazy, but also just again noisy.
Are they named after Ringo Starr?
They got sued by Ringo Starr. Ringo Starr's tried to sue them, but they're not named after. I think it was just it's a funny name because they don't. I mean, obviously they take music seriously, and they're an awesome band, they're an amazing live band, and they write great songs, but they're not super serious people, so I think it was just a band name. I mean, I've never officially asked them why, and I'm sure they get asked about it constantly, and they hate it, but, you know, I think it was just funny.
Well, by the way, what a jerk move. Why did Ringo Starr sue them?
You know, he thought they were trying to capitalize on his name. They did the same thing. There's a band called Gringo Star he also tried to sue. It's like he needs any more money.
Yeah, he doesn't need the money. Like, let's just put it out there.
Young Prism, I've seen them live, and they were okay live. I forget who they opened for.
No, I know did they open up for School of Seven Bells?
They might have, but not at the show that I saw.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen School of Seven Bells. So anyway, Young Prisms, they have a new album out a couple months ago, and so they got two albums out now. They're pretty good. Live, it wasn't amazing. They were fine, but I mean the recorded work was much better. So they're pretty decent.
The Depreciation Guild?
The Depreciation Guild?
Yeah.
They broke up.
Oh, they
did? I saw them play in London. Yeah, they played Reverence for, again, Club AC-30. And one of the members was in, or is in, the Pains of Being Pure at Heart. And so the Depreciation Guild put out a couple albums, and then they broke up.
Okay. I saw them play, and they had a movie projection on them. And so it's very dark, and it was just a movie projection. It was almost like, not, I wouldn't say boring, but it was like they were just two guys on stage, and they
did. It was only two guys? Because when I saw them, it was a full band.
No, it was two guys when I saw them.
And maybe that's why they broke up, because it was just like one dude, and he was like, oh, screw it. It's over.
But he has long hair, and he's just, or maybe they did have a full band. I don't remember. I wrote about it, so.
Well, I saw the Depreciation Guild, and it was one of the dudes from Pains of Being Pure at Heart, whose name I'm forgetting right now, but he was a really nice guy. He brought them beer backstage. And I want to wrap this up, because we've been like rambling on about shoegaze for like over half an hour now, and I feel really horrible. I'm sorry, but I could go on further. No, there are more, but I will spare you from that. That can be another conversation.
The problem is I haven't really kept up with a lot of these more modern bands, so it seems kind of like you're just citing names to me, you know?
And yeah, I'm just like lying, like they're not even bands. I'm just saying like Belong. Belong's not a band.
What? Baloney?
Oh, Belong is a band, yeah. Oh, they're bands. So, yeah. No, but that's pretty much it. I mean, there's, and the thing is, you know, you could say it's cyclical, like they're kind of coming back around again. It's why, you know, My Bloody Valentine has finally decided to get their act together and re-release the stuff. But again, they've been promising to do it for a while, or at least threatening to do it. And, you know, Jesus and Mary Chain re-released their stuff in these deluxe 2-CD packages with DVDs last, like, the end of September, early October of last year. I'm not really sure why. I think it's just because we're old now, and it's been around for a long time, and it's kind of like, now it's time for our stuff to be re-released, like stuff that we started listening to when we were younger. I don't know if it's necessarily.
Yeah, do you think maybe kids today are just discovering shoegaze, and then they're getting into it, and then they're going back and buying like this early, you know, Catherine Wheel album or Ride album or Chapter House?
Yeah, I mean, it'll constantly be happening. I mean, because there's always a 16-year-old who's picking up a guitar and listening to music and thinking that this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then trying to emulate it and incorporate it in their sound. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily cyclical. And here's the thing, it's like I actively, like you said, you've lost touch, but I've actively sought out this stuff for years. So to me, there's always been a shoegaze scene, you know?
We usually end with a song, like a full song. So anything from like the shoegaze and stuff you want us to end with?
And we have to do Catherine Wheel, because that's...
Yeah, you want to pick any song? Like,
I would say Black Metallic. I know it's really, really long. I mean, do you play the entirety of it, or is it outro?
No, we play the...
Oh, my God. I would say Black Metallic, and I'll tell you why. Because it was the first Catherine Wheel song that I saw on, like, 120 Minutes on MTV back in the day.
Oh, good old times,
When I was, like, 12 or 13, which kind of turned me on to shoegaze. So if that's what turned me on to it, then that's kind of what I should probably...
I'm not afraid to die. skin is black metallic. Skin is black metallic. Skin is black metallic.
Looper too.
Looper was a Scottish band, and it's by David, who is from Bell and Sebastian after he left Bell and Sebastian.
Oh, okay.
So I wouldn't group them with Britpop, but you could if you wanted to. Fair to think that Dream Pop has only girl singers, or is that more of a...
No, that is unfair.
Okay.
I don't think so at all. Yeah. And it's weird because, like, I'm looking up right now, like, a list of Dream Pop bands, and, like, it's such a weird mixture because I'm like, okay, that is totally nuts, and that is what I would say is shoegaze, and that's just straight up indie rock. Because they've got, like, M83, which if you listen to, like, M83's really early stuff is kind of like electronic shoegaze stuff. And it's kind of, like, morphed into this poppy, dancey electronic thing. But I don't know if I'd say that they're dream pop.